My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate. When the stock market says boo, I'm David Brancaccio. October can be a spooky month for stocks. Investors got a fright yesterday when the tech-heavy NASDAQ index fell 1.8% to its lowest point since May. The S&P fell 1.2%. Futures prices on those indexes suggest a move back up when trading begins today. What's going on here? Marketplace's Nova Safo is here.
Well, in short, David, it's earnings season, and this one has so far offered mixed messages. We've heard from about half of S&P 500 companies, but the most important are the biggest tech stocks. They have a huge effect on the direction that broader indexes move, and that effect in large part explains the seesawing we're seeing. On Wall Street, these giant companies are known as the Magnificent Seven. Five of them have now reported: Microsoft, Alphabet, Meta, Tesla, and Amazon. And what have we heard? Well, Microsoft had a stellar report, but broadly speaking, it's been kind of good news about the last quarter and uncertainty about what's to come. A lot of other companies have offered a similar message and have tended to revise their earnings forecasts downwards.
Downward, but we covered the news. The economy grew at a better than expected 4.9% rate in the summer. You'd think people would stop thinking recession.
Indeed, and economists are starting to think less about recession, but it's a narrow margin. Investors are looking at a lot of other variables too. Relentlessly high bond yields, Federal Reserve signaling higher rates for longer, less business investment. And at the same time, corporate results so far have come in aggregate better than expected. Of course, those expectations, frankly, David, were kind of low. Overall, what we can say is that companies generally are growing their businesses, but at a slower rate. So you see this back and forth in indicators, and that's the rub. We just don't know how good or how bad the news will be in the following quarters.
A key measure of inflation jumped by the most in 4 months, 0.4%. This is personal consumption expenditures for September, using the Fed's preferred method of tracking inflation, the one that ignores food and energy prices. Prescription drugs, cars and trucks, and travel prices were especially more expensive. The overall PCE index is up 3.2% in a year. Let's go to Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Inflation still here.
Yeah, I think the story basically is that we saw a real surge in consumer spending over the course of the third quarter. And I say over the course because it started strong and the quarter ended strong. And when demand is hot, it makes it possible for companies to raise prices. And that's exactly what they did. So we saw a pretty broad-based increase.
So the Federal Reserve must be somewhat concerned in their fight against inflation. Do you think it changes their thinking in terms of changing when they might raise interest rates again?
Certainly not relative to next week's meeting. That one, I think their mind is made up. We heard from 14 different members of the Open Market Committee about what they thought they would do in November, and not one advocated a rate hike. So I think we're safe there.
Today's take from Christopher Lowe. He's the chief economist at FHN Financial. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The Personal Consumption Expenditures Index helps central bankers decide how high to set interest rates to fight inflation. Prices for things may be easier to control than prices for services. Marketplace's Justin Ho has that.
The Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes have caused a lot of people to put off big purchases they might have to finance, like a new appliance. But people are still spending plenty of money on cheaper, everyday services, like a haircut or dinner at a restaurant.
And I'm going to keep eating dinner no matter what Jay Powell does to interest rates.
That's Justin Wolfers at the University of Michigan. He says another reason that services inflation has stayed high is because those prices are heavily influenced by wages.
Going to the hairdresser, it doesn't matter what's happening to the price of oil, the price of lumber, or the price of eggs. The most important cost for a hairdresser is labor.
The labor market has started to loosen up. For instance, the number of job openings and quits has been trending down. But Menzi Chen at the University of Wisconsin says even if the increase in wages is moderating,
it's still at the moment on a 12-month basis faster than inflation.
And that could put pressure on the Federal Reserve to keep interest rates higher for longer. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
The U.S. today announced a new round of sanctions aimed at cutting off more funding for Hamas following the attack on Israelis earlier this month that killed more than 1,400 people. Among those now subject to the new sanctions, a Hamas representative in Iran and members of Iran's Revolutionary Guard. Deputy Treasury Secretary Wally Adeyemo is in London now to firm up support for the sanctions with British authorities. He was also set to warn cryptocurrency firms they're being monitored for activities related to Hamas. And in Gaza, the head of the United Nations agency distributing humanitarian aid to Palestinians said today that only, quote, crumbs of aid are getting in. And for the first time since the war began, the Red Cross is saying medical personnel have been allowed in, including some surgical experts. Key feature of the 2023 economy, strikes by organized labor. This week, the United Auto Workers reached a tentative deal with Ford. Striking nurses at Kaiser Permanente have one as well. Striking Hollywood writers have a deal, while striking performers are still on the picket lines. And hotel workers, union hotel workers in Southern California, have been holding walkouts since July. They're demanding higher wages and increased health care coverage, among other things, to improve working conditions. Now, earlier this week, thousands of workers with the union Unite Here Local 11 assembled in downtown Los Angeles to protest their wages and working arrangements. Maria Elena Durazo is a California state senator who addressed the crowd in support.
Ya tenemos muchos años.
We've spent years demanding respect for housekeepers, dishwashers, cooks, and front desk workers. We've been saying contract after contract for years that we deserve much more. Enough with poverty in our communities.
The hotel industry says they have the legal right to keep functioning during a labor action, but workers at the gathering were speaking out against some hotels bringing in unhoused migrants to replace striking workers. There are allegations about that, something Durazo addressed.
I'm so proud that there are migrants here who had just come from Colombia, Venezuela, and other countries. And they were here for a brighter future. Instead, what they found was hotels and temporary agencies trying to pit them against the strikers. We're not going to let that happen.
Now, the Los Angeles District Attorney has launched an investigation into these allegations. We reached out to hotel operators. A spokesperson from Ambridge Hospitality, which operates a variety of hotels, including the Holiday Inn at Los Angeles Airport, said any allegation that hotels knowingly and improperly used unhoused individuals or undocumented refugees during a work stoppage is, quote, completely unfounded. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.